Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. It is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take your seats. Let's really get into the word of God. Let's not waste any time. If you have your Bibles, quickly open it to the book of Mark chapter 11. That has been our text of scripture for these teachings that we have been having. Okay, let's quickly get the book of Mark chapter 11. I want to start from verse 12 again. Like I said, even if I have to repeat some, explain some things, I'll just do, and because we've read many times, I won't bother to tell you what I'm doing. I'm sure you should be used to it by now. All right, in verse 12, he said, on the next day when he had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples were listening. Now you go down now to verse 20. And when they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus, all right, answered saying to them, have the faith of God, or have faith in God. Truly, he went ahead to explain the importance of having faith in God and how it works in your prayer life. He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Now, please, I want you to understand this. Whoever says to this mountain, the person is not praying, all right, but because he has faith in God, he just says to a mountain. It's a discussion between him and the mountain. It does not involve God in any way. He just has an issue with the mountain. He just has an issue with a problem in his neighborhood. He has an issue with his vehicle. He has an issue somewhere in his life. And he's not even talking to God about the issue. He's handling that issue directly. And he just says to the mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. All right? And does not doubt in his heart. He said, whatever that man says is going to be granted him. He said, now remember, truly I say to you, said in verse 23. Verse 24 is another application. Because of this principle, therefore, in verse 25, I also say to you, all things for which you pray, this summarizes the matter of prayer, and ask, believe, that is, if you can believe that you have received them, they will be granted you. Then went ahead to talk about when you stand praying. We are stopping that verse 24. I want to just bring out a number of issues on this total, we've been speaking about total faith, and I want to remind us of some things we have said again, especially in that verse 22. I want to explain, that's the main thrust of this whole thing. Total faith means that faith is total. I mean, that's good English, right? Yeah, that's what means of total faith. And I've been trying to explain, okay, this is where faith becomes defective. This is the reason why faith does not seem to work a lot of times. And the simple reason is that people want to compartmentalize it, and that will not work. You cannot claim you have faith in an area, and then when it gets to another area, you don't have faith, and you expect your faith to be strong. It will not be strong. People oftentimes start something, and they don't start it by faith. That they want to continue and get results by faith. And that faith does not work. You must understand that faith is not a feeling. I've been trying to explain. That's why you have to be careful that you are not deceived. Many people think they have faith, but they actually don't have faith. They are deceived. They are thinking in their heart, I have faith. But really, what they have is an intense desire. What they have is a stubbornness of heart. What they have is the determination, not faith. Faith, it does not always produce a feeling. Sometimes people think that, I feel so sure. Faith sometimes does not even give you that kind of assurance. Okay? Sometimes faith is just a matter of abandonment. Let me explain what they say here. God is able to deliver us. Even if he does not deliver us, we will not bow. Are you getting my point? The faith was not hanging on deliverance. The faith was like, I will not bow to any other God apart from the God of my Lord Jesus Christ. That was what that faith was about. It didn't have anything to do whether I will be delivered or not. So if you say those boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were so sure they will be delivered. No, they were not sure they will be delivered. One thing they were just sure of is, I won't bow to any other God.
If I die in the process, it's died by faith. If I live in the process, it's living by faith. That's just what it is. They will have died by faith if they died in that process. And listen to me, many people have died in that process. Let's not continue to make it look as if the only thing God knows how to do is to deliver children out of fire. Sometimes he allows the fire to roast them, just to let some people know that people are roastable. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Sounds funny, right? Now, what I'm trying to say is that, so you find that Christians, there were times that they went through the fiery furnace and God allowed the fire to burn them. And if you go and read the story of the prophets of Israel, many times they were killed because they were prophets. And God did not just see fit that day to deliver them. Because the Bible says that there were men that the world was not worthy of. Are you getting my point? So God said, no, what's the big deal? Kill him. I'm taking him somewhere far better than where he is right now. So faith is not the fact that I am so sure God will deliver me. Faith is that no matter what you threaten, I will not bow to another God. Now, get my point. I'm going to emphasize here that faith is not just how I feel concerning the result I'm going to get. Sometimes faith is just total abandonment. I don't care. As long as I am pleasing to God, I don't care what the result will be. You know, I said something last time, that one of the reasons why faith has been weak is because faith has been used only to grab. People don't use faith to give things up. They use it to grab. And for that reason, that faith is defective. Let's really talk some science here. Most of us here have heard of kwashiorkor. Kwashiorkor is a situation in which a child gets a lot of carbohydrates but does not get enough protein. And that process does not get enough vitamins and minerals. The child is eating plenty, okay? But this child will have puffy eyes, so he has a big stomach, will look unhealthy, the hair will be thin and weak. Once you see this child, it's a picture of poor health. Yeah, the child has a lot of body size. We call it malnutrition. Nutrition that is not appropriate. Nutrition that is out of order. Why is it like that? Because it is not balanced. Faith that is not balanced also produces the same kind of result. Yes, please, I hope you are getting my point. If faith is not balanced, that's what it produces. It is, you find that the faith is not strong, it is weak. It cannot defend. That child, even though he has a lot of body size, cannot defend himself or herself against infections. They often have a lot of intestinal infections. Bacterial infections have a field day with them. Viruses can tackle them very easily. Why? The diet is not balanced. Faith that only knows how to get is not balanced.
Yes, sir.
It is not balanced. That faith is weak. The fellow will think he has faith. The fellow will think she has faith, but that faith is not strong. So that's the point I've been trying to make. So what is the faith that is balanced? We read from Amplified Bible. It said, it is faith that is continual. It said, have faith in God continually. And I said, the faith of God is that which is continual. The faith of God is that which is not something we pick up when we think we need it. The faith of God is something we use all the time. The faith of God is something we employ even when things are good. That's what I'm picking up from today, all right? Now, I have two things in mind I want to teach today. I don't know which one to start with. I want to talk about faith as a matter of words that we speak continually, of total faith for finances. I don't know which one to start with. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start talking about both of them. And anyone that stays is the one that the Holy Spirit wants us to talk about. And then we'll leave the other one till another time, okay? Now, I was saying that the problem with faith, why it is weak, that is the reason why we're doing this teaching, is that faith cannot be compartmentalized. So when we try to compartmentalize faith, we have a problem. I've been saying that again and again. The faith of God is the one you use even when you don't think you need a special manifestation of divine power, yet you operate by that faith. The faith of God is what you use even if things look okay. I made a statement, I think last week's School of Prayer. Let me just make the statement here. I said that for you to have faith in the time of trouble, you must have had faith when things were good. Last time we explained that faith is a seed. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, I want to explain the principle from that again. The emphasis there is in the word seed rather than mustard. Now, both of them are important. The fact that mustard seed is very small is important, but also that it is a seed. One, it is small. Second, it is a seed. It didn't say if you have faith as a grain of sand. That could have been a good illustration. But it said faith as a mustard seed. That tells you that faith is living, and if you plant it, it will grow. I said something before, that if you see faith that is great, There was a season of what? Seed. The other time we looked at two people in the scriptures who Jesus said had great faith. One, the Syrophoenician woman. Two, the Roman centurion. In both situations, they were not praying for themselves, but for somebody they loved. And we said that faith works by love. That a seed of faith, now listen to this, we'll start talking about the things that are the seeds of faith. That a seed of faith is love. About the most important seed of faith is love. The point I'm making here is that faith is a seed. And every time you find great faith, listen, it does not lie within any human being to have great faith. It does not. Great faith, as a rule, is a manifestation of the Spirit. Great faith, as a rule, is a special endowment that God pours into somebody whose heart is prepared. Great faith, as a rule, is not something you conjure up by yourself. Listen to me. God grants great faith. I've said this many times. It's my best example. If you see fiery furnace, believe me, you will bow. I don't know what I heard what I said.
Yes, sir.
If they put you in front of furnace, you will bow. The only reason men did not bow, the only reason men stood, even when they were threatened with being roasted alive, is because God poured into them at that time the spirit of faith. Life is spiritual. We must understand. Listen, for Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, something possessed him.
Yes.
That thing is called the spirit of faith. I'm going to explain something here. At that point, what you are enjoying is the fruit of seeds that were sown. That is what manifests as great faith. And what we believers must realize is that we must plant that faith constantly. There's a principle of seed sowing in Christianity. And what is that principle? You sow your seed in the morning. And you sow your seed at night. You sow your seed when it is convenient. You sow your seed when it is not convenient. You sow your seed when you are happy. You sow your seed when you are sad. That is the principle of seed sowing in Christianity. It is a constant thing we do all the time. That is why you've heard me teach about money many times. There are not too many people that, you know, speak the way I do amongst us ministers. Let me just emphasize this again. The major area where I disagree with most preachers when it comes to seed, money as seed sowing, is the way it's operated. Today you will plant a seed and you will reap a harvest. I don't believe it. If not, I don't believe it. It is not true. Christians, do we reap harvest from giving money? Yes, we do. Many scriptures abound that show that he that sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. He that sows bountifully, reaps bountifully. So you say, so why don't you agree? It's simple. There's a principle of spirituality in Christianity. And that is that our own seed sowing as believers cannot be targeted. It can't be. I don't have time to explain it now. You cannot target the seed. What you do as a Christian is to do what? Sow continually. I have to explain that thing until everybody understands it. As Christians, we sow how?
Continually.
I didn't hear you well enough.
Continually.
It must be a habit. You must be the type that sow in the morning and sow at night. You must be a giver when you are abundant and a giver when you are broke. You must be a giver when you are happy. And a giver when you are sad. You must be a giver when you believe in people and be a giver when you are angry with them. That is when your seed is of the faith of God. If you say, now I need a new car, let me plant this seed for my new car, you have spoilt it. You have spoilt it. If you say, now I need breakthrough in this area, I now take a seed, that is money now, I'm talking about money now, and I go and give it, because of that, you've ruined it. You must be one that plants, in quotes, that money seed Whether you need anything or you don't. And this is the rule. You don't even know which one God is using to bring forth something. Because the fact is this. Listen to this. Physical things you see, they don't enter the realm of the spirit. People say if you give money, you will reap money. Not true. You see, but the Bible says seed and harvest. You must understand that for every seed, there is a soil. If you want to plant corn, you know corn, C-O-R, what they call, Oryza sativa, that's rice. What is corn again? Z-maize, thank you. If you want to plant Z-maize must go into loamy soil. Are you getting my point? Clay soil or sandy soil, it must go into soil. My emphasis is soil, not the loamy. The way you're squeezing your face, like, are you sure? No, the woman is squeezing his face because I know he has a farm. So he's looking at me like, oh God, no, my own is on clay soil. What are you saying? My emphasis is on soil. Are you getting my point? So the emphasis is on soil and physical. That is a physical thing. If you want to plant money as a seed, that is a cash as a seed, the only place is a financial market. It's a business. It's an investment. It's buying and selling. It's the bank. It's stocks. It's fixed deposits. That is the soil, the ground, thank you, for financial seed. If we are to take it literally, the financial seed that goes into an offering basket is not literal. The financial seed that goes into the life of a man that is poor, that you want to help, is not literal. The financial seed that goes into the life of a prophet is not literal. In that one, God does not see the money. He can't. Those ones, it is what they carry, what they represent, that enters into the realm of the spirit. So if I take money, and I look and say, this man is hungry, take. You know what I've done? I have sown love, not money. And Jesus said like that, he that shows mercy shall obtain what? Mercy. The mercy is intangible. But how do you not show mercy? You give money, that's mercy. The man is broke, he's hungry, he hasn't eaten. You give to him, that's mercy. He that honors me, I will honor. You've heard that before?
Yes, sir.
Honor again is intangible. How do you show honor? A woman saw Elisha and said, I perceive that this man is a holy man of God that passes by us every time. Elisha was not broke. Elisha had places to stay. He was an honored man in Israel. The woman just, she was not trying to meet his, she was not treating him as a man that's poor. She was treating him as a man that was a prophet. And the Bible says, if you give to a prophet because he's a prophet, not because he's broke. Uh-huh. I have seen something in Christianity. I've seen people that will give to you as long as you can demonstrate that you are poor. And they'll be very generous. Once they see that you're not poor, they will never give to you no matter. Preach the gospel from now till tomorrow, they won't. I'm not saying they are evil people, but they only give in one area. Money of love. You know, like, not they never give out of honor. There's one preacher I was listening to. He said he never receives a gift from somebody he's richer than. I said, then you will never receive a gift of honor. As a preacher, listen. When I started it, I was like that. I didn't like to. You give me money, it was an embarrassment to collect. I felt that, what is this? Well, later on I understood. There are different kinds of offerings. Let me be like that. One of them is the offering of love, that is, in need. This man needs money. This woman needs money. Let me give to help. But there's an offering of honor in which you go before a king and you don't come empty-handed. He's not richer than you. And God said, go and read the book of Malachi. God said it. You brought me all kinds of offerings. He said, take it to your governor. Will he take it from you? That is, they used to take things to their governors. And the governors were not poor. He said, if I'm a father, where is my honor? You must understand that. That is why I tell people, a lot of Christians don't realize it. Your father is poor or rich is irrelevant to your giving to him. If he needs it, if he doesn't have enough pension to take care of him and all of that, yes, you have a double reason to give to him. But assuming that he's so rich, he makes your annual salary in one weekend. You will still cut from that your little salary and go home and present things to him. Why? It's called honor. Somebody said something once. I was Pastor Kwaju. I listened to when he quoted it. I didn't hear it directly. But to give you an idea of what I'm saying, they wanted to review the salary of the Australian Prime Minister many years ago, not now. And of course, as typical in all democracies, there's plenty of talk. And Fela explained it, you know Fela, Anikula Kokuti, he explained it very well. You see, demonstration of Chris. Are you getting my point? They call it democracy. So you see, people who know, they will talk. People who don't know, they will talk. Everybody, it's called freedom of speech. I like it there, I mean. Freedom of speech. Freedom after speech is what I can't guarantee. The Lord is good. So everybody was talking. Jack, 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 Jack. So they said they asked Brian Houston that, and he made a statement. I think that is the Australian pastor, right? That's Brian Houston. He said the man made a statement, which is what I want to, that statement I want to quote. The man said, it is not about need. It is about honor. He's our prime minister. We have to honor that position. He has to be generously paid. Not because he needs it, but because we recognize that he's our prime minister. You are getting my point? We will talk more about this later, but let me just try and sit on the main point I'm going to make here. So that woman gave to Elisha a seed of what? Honor. And God said, he that honors me, I will honor. I'm going to emphasize something here. You can see that this money that these people spent, these monies were not, they did not enter into the realm of the spirit. They can't. Money can't enter the realm of the spirit. Money can enter into a bank, can enter into a trader's hands, can enter into your pocket. It cannot enter the realm of the spirit. But it must represent something. That is why most Christians these days, their seeds mean nothing. Because they are seeds of selfishness. And he that sows to his own flesh. Let me not complete it. They are not giving to people. They are not giving gifts of love. They are not giving gifts of honor. They are not giving gifts of mercy. They are giving gifts of selfishness. That's why I have never believed that you get up and say, this seed is for my car, and you get anything. If you got that car, God just overlooks your foolishness. He does that. He just overlooks it. Say, forgive him, forgive her. What does she know? Okay, erase this, erase that. Use the prayer she prayed yesterday. They will now use that prayer to produce the result. And then next day they say, praise the Lord, my seed spoke for me. Nonsense. Your seed didn't say anything. The mercy of God spoke for you. Are you getting my point? As a true believer, let me explain something to you. You want your seed in quote now, because I don't have time to explain it in detail, to speak for you. The only way you do is I sow it all the time. The things that you did or that you are doing that's really counting, you don't know it's counting. The one you think is counting is not being recorded. The big works people do, you'll be surprised. You give $1 million to the preaching of the gospel. God did not notice. You know why? He says that day you were feeling happy. And you had an extra million. Maybe you gave it to impress your wife that you just married, that I'm a generous husband that you married. It's possible. One day God wants to multiply seed for you. You won't know. It's the 500 naira you gave one day that you did not even remember. In heaven, when they want to count it. The day they show you that one, you're like, what? You counted this? God will point out to you that day, what brought that money out of your pocket was that you looked at that man or that woman, and you looked and compassion came out of your bowels. And the only way you could express it was to give that money. So I'm rewarding the compassion that came out of your bowels. That is what enters the realm of the spirit. I went into that trying to explain a principle here. That when people tell you that when you give money, you must get money, it doesn't work. I've seen people say, I'm going to give dollars so God can pay me back in dollars. No. all you are doing is giving what the Bible calls selfishness. Seeds must always have a spiritual adjective attached to them. You know what they call adjective? Something to describe them. So it's either seeds of love, seeds of honor, seeds of generosity, seeds of compassion. Seeds. Most Christians today, in 2016, as of today, they give seeds of selfishness. They're only thinking of themselves. If it won't come back to them, they're not going to release it. And that's why the only way many pastors see to get money out of Christians is to come and start promising things God did not promise. The first 50 people, I have 50 blessings. The Holy Spirit said to me, it's 1 million for each blessing. So church that day, only those that have 1 million will collect the 50 blessings. And let me prove to you that most of the time is a lie. When that man doesn't get up to 50, by the time he gets to 25, he said, the Holy Spirit just said to me, now if only half a million, come and collect also. I said, forget this, dog, forget this thing. Look. I told one of my colleagues, call me early one morning, around 7 a.m., before 7 a.m. I was surprised to get a call for him that early. I said, what's happening? He said, the pastor, he called dad, he said, pastor, there's trouble. I said, what happened? He said, in his church, they said they should come for prayer meeting by 6 a.m. So he carried his wife and children and went to church by 6 a.m. And the pastor now said that, if you're amongst those that God will bless today, say amen. Of course, won't you say amen? Everybody roared amen. Say amen again. After some days, if you are amongst them, run forward now with 10,000 or 20,000 naira. You know what annoyed my colleague? That I left my house at 6 a.m. because you are broke. It's very annoying. So he just went to where his wife was, grabbed her hand, said, let us go. He was so angry, dragged the woman out of the church. As he was saying this guy, picked his phone. He was thinking who to report to. It was me. So he called me. He said, pastor, there's problem. There's problem. I said, what happened? He now told me this. His own was that, what kind of thing? If you needed money, you should have just told me. I'll have come to drop my own on my way back from work. Not make me come to church at 6 in the morning. That is not fair. Listen to me. Anytime you want to give, and what you receive is what is in your mind, you're throwing away your money. Let me say it again. Anytime you want to give, and it is what it will produce for you that's in your mind, you are throwing away your money. I will say it one more time. Anytime it is offering time, and it is what it will bring back for you that's pushing you to give it, you've just thrown away that money. Why? Because I said to you, money itself does not enter the realm of the spirit. It is the thing that it's carrying, the spiritual substance, the spiritual adjective, that is what enters. Offerings must be offerings of love, offerings of mercy, offerings of honor, offerings of compassion, if they are going to count with God. Offerings of selfishness, they don't bring you anything good. I was making a statement. Faith must be continual. That's what I'm trying to explain. Giving must be a habit. Please go and read my tract, Cheerful Giver, again. We believers give continually. We give because we are givers. We give because we are like our Father who is in heaven. We give because His rain falls on the good and the bad. So we give all the time. We don't only give in church, we give at home. We don't only give in church, we give in the community. We don't only give to Christians, we give to unbelievers. We are just there to meet needs as God gives us the opportunity. We give all the time. That kind of giving is a giving of faith. The faith of God. The giving that's only stimulated by my desire. And listen, if you're a preacher, please stop it. Stop spoiling people. You've heard me preach, those of you who've listened to me for some time. I don't motivate people by what they will get because you are killing their seed. I remind them that they are good people. I remind Christians that the seed of God is in them. Then I help them to see needs when it's available. And I leave the rest. You give cheerfully. That's a cheerful giver. Anybody that's pacing up and down, waiting for when his seed will bring forth the harvest, is not a cheerful giver. He's an apprehensive investor. He's fidgeting. Did I plant? People say that you have to plant in a fertile ground. Well, fertile ground is where people are in need. Fertile ground is where people should be honored. Fertile ground is where the gospel is being preached. Fertile ground is where you just want to help. Once you're not thinking of yourself, it's fertile. It's not to go to the ministry and say, how many souls did they win last year? The preachers talk about it, see, in this ministry last year, we had 15,000 souls won for God. It's fertile ground. It's not fertile ground. I mean, I'm not saying it's not fertile ground. That doesn't make it fertile ground. There's a young man who just started ministry. It's also fertile ground. Once I am not thinking of myself, I am thinking of how I can bless somebody. That's fertile ground. If I say, yes, these guys are preaching the gospel and I want to help them, that's fertile ground also, most certainly. But I'm going to say something here. Stop thinking of yourself when you want to give. That let me be sure it will produce for me. When your money produces, it is not even for you. It produces so you can give some more. The Bible says he multiplies your seed for sowing. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm going to make all of these things. All right? So, you know, I'm saying all of this to emphasize a particular point. That faith is a seed, and we plant it how? One more time. That's what we do. And also made a statement earlier. Let me just repeat it, then I explain it. Remember we said that Jesus said, if you can believe, that is, he was trying to emphasize something. That it's a spiritual state you are in which you find deep inside your heart the ability to believe. And I'm going to bring out an issue here. It is not when you need to believe, you start trying to conjure faith. I don't know whether you hear what I said. It's not when you need to believe, you suddenly start conjuring up faith. They say if you can lift up this 200 kg of dumbbell. That's not dumbbell. Bars, you know, iron bars in the gym. They are going to give you 5 million naira. Hey! Then you now go there and start psyching yourself. I can do all things. Through Christ who helps me with muscle, I can do all things. You start trying to carry 200 kg. Bros, I hope you have a friend that's an orthopedic surgeon. Yes, because your back is going to heal me. 200 kg all of a sudden. However, listen to this. Assuming your name is, let's not give any name. But if you've ever seen this program on TV, The World's Strongest Man, those men are strong. If you are one of them, it's not the day of the competition you start flexing muscle. You've been flexing that muscle for a long time and you have been eating well for a long time. You will discover the strength inside you to carry that weight. And that is what faith is about. They said that if you start looking for faith when you need it, you waited too late. That faith must have been practiced. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. My own emphasis is that faith must have been sown constantly as a seed. Then you don't look for faith. You discover it. I don't know whether I get my point. You will just realize that your heart is settled. Like we read that in that scripture. What there was the Lord Jesus saying, when we started reading from that around that verse 12, you notice that he wasn't thinking about the tree. He was not praying about the tree. The tree just offended him. And he spoke and was not planning to check. And the tree died. So what's the point I'm going to make? This is the point. If you are going to have faith in difficult times, when you need a lot of faith, you must have been deliberately exercising faith in the time of peace. Don't start conjuring up faith when things are hard. If you did not deliberately have faith when things were easy. I'll use money as a very good example. Right now, in fact, Naira did the greatest masquerade performance over the last few days. There was a day they said the thing dropped 60 Naira in 24 hours. 320 to 380 in 24 hours. Or is it 24 or 48 hours? It crossed by 60 Naira in 24 or 48 hours. Who has heard such things? I was discussing with the Wazi Bishop. I said, in my own little life, I've gone through that thing 3 times. This is my 3rd experience. Or seeing Naira just swipe like down, going down like that. This is my 3rd experience in life. Don't worry. Nothing will happen to you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Don't worry. Nothing will happen to you.
Amen.
Don't think what's going to happen. Nothing. You will still breathe tomorrow morning. And let me give you a prophetic word. You are going to laugh about it in a short while.
Amen.
Don't let your heart be troubled. That thing is a very powerful statement. When Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, it wasn't nice preaching. It was a statement that this is very crucial to your survival. Your heart must not be troubled. It's crucial to your survival. When you think about it, ask my wife. I always laugh. Was it she that told me, or Bishop, when I heard it, I said, what? 69? 24 or 48 hours? I started laughing. When Bishop told me that, he told me it's not 380, I said, it's getting close to the 400 naira I said at the beginning. As after that, it is slowed down. Anytime I hear it, I laugh. You know why? The Bible says, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You see where I'm going? Let's use this faith for finance as an example. If you are going to have faith in the time of trouble, it will be because you deliberately exercise faith in the time of peace. Let's use money as an example. Quickly, let's read what Paul wrote to Timothy. I began to talk about seeds of faith at the time, but I'm not taking it in order anymore, but maybe we'll still get back to it and summarize all the seeds of faith that we have identified. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In fact, I think this is where we'll stay now. Should we read this first? Okay, let's read this one first. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 17. He said, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. It's a storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Now notice what Paul was trying to emphasize here. You can look up from your reading. Paul was emphasizing to Timothy the need for faith. He said, instruct them not to have their expectation on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Let me just emphasize to us again that was faith he was describing. The Bible says that faith is a substance of things hoped for. What that is saying is that if a man has hope, it's because he has faith. A wish is different from a hope in the Bible. In the Bible, hope is an expectation that is firm. The fellow is sure, all right? And that's because there is faith in something. That's because he has information, she has information, and is basing the expectation on that. So this was a lesson in faith that Timothy was being told to teach to the rich people. He said, the danger, I said something to us before, that everything in life has a danger. If you are rich, the danger of being rich is that you will put your trust in money. If you are poor, your trust cannot be in money because you don't have it. If you are rich, it's a major danger that you will put your trust in what you have. It's just a danger. I said to us before that everything in life has its risk. If you're a man that is in authority, you are to be a law enforcement officer, the risk is that you will oppress people. It's a risk. You will let your neighbor know that you're a policeman. Because I've been gentle in this compound, right? I did not want to use my authority. It's a risk. Sometimes if you have that kind of force on your side, the day you are maltreated is the day you must deliberately refuse to make that statement. A man will drag you to court. He won't know the amount of power you have behind you. Just say nothing. Many times, all of those things are exercises in faith. If you know everybody in the world as a believer, listen to this. When you apply for a job, call none of them. Being a Christian, no be joke. What do you want to talk? Thank you. Somebody says it's not a joke. I didn't say it's not a joke. I said, no, be joke. Okay, let's say for the international audience. Being a Christian ain't a joke at all, man. Being a Christian is not a joke. It has its demands. God doesn't only give to you, he takes from you. God looks at you and says, they slap you on the right cheek, turn the left. It's not a joke. God says to the Christian that's connected, when you apply for a job, call nobody. If you call anybody, you have just weakened your faith. I tell you, every day you are sowing seeds. The one that you apply, then you start checking, Pastor, I want to know whether you know somebody. If I know somebody, I will help you to know somebody. Are you getting my point? But your own personal faith is being weakened. One of our brothers the other day, he applied for a job where I used to work. So when he told me, I said, how come you never told me? He said, did you not tell us that we don't need to know anybody? I said, I'm sorry. Oh, he got the job. He said, you told us we don't need to know anybody. Everything in life has a risk. If you are rich, in fact, there's one man that was a politician in the then Ondo State, then later became Ekiti State. His name is Oluwo Porok, which is a very interesting name. You know what it means? The rich man has killed the case. That is, literally says the rich man has killed the talk. But what it means is that, listen, when talk plenty too much, rich man ends it with money. That is a danger of being rich. That's what I'm going to emphasize. When a man has money, the risk is that he will have his trust in money. One day, one of my friends told me something. I said, my God. He said one day he sat down and he was looking at what's happening in the country. Not now. This was years ago. He said he began to ask himself, how will he do it for his children or for the future? Should he buy stocks? He said, stock market can crash. He can't save up in the bank. Doesn't make sense. He said, maybe I should buy dollar. Dollar is not always steady. Okay, maybe I should buy euro and keep. No, pounds may be better. He said he was so confused as to how to handle the future. He did not realize how terrified he was until he checked himself and realized he was sweating in the cold. Or should I buy stock? Should I buy dollar? Should I buy pounds? Or buy euro? It's only for those that have plenty of money. Yeah, think about it. If you are living from one salary to the next, you will think, you tell your children, pray, oh, better pray. Better pray. Let's join our hands. Remember the story of Ben Carson's mother? We told you many times. Single woman, that did well, her husband left. A single mother she was, young mother. She married when she was like, is it 14 or 15 or 17, something like that. Between 15 and 17. So she was in her early 20s. When her son said, do you think I can be a doctor? And this is America, not Nigeria. Medical education is very expensive there. And the woman said to the boy, you can be anything. And the next statement was what? All we have to do is ask God for it. Most people, why not? You can be a doctor. I think I have about $2 million in investment in this particular bank. But she didn't have that. She had to work two cleaning jobs to make ends meet. There was not a chance in a million she would be able to pay herself for that child to go to that school. So she said simply, all we need to do is ask God for it. So they went ahead and asked God for it as a little boy because the mother dared to have faith. Laws were written to help people like him. The laws of affirmative action came up to help people like him. God gave him intelligence. There was a time an angel physically showed up to help him solve problems in an exam that was coming up the next day. God led him in such a manner that he learned music when he did not need music. Because the day he needed music, he did not even know. He went for an interview to become a resident in neurosurgery. It happened that the head of the department liked classical music. And when he entered his office to start the interview, something brought up discussion about music. And the wealth of knowledge he had from learning music as a young boy, he discussed with the man and used that to impress the man The man gave him the post. He didn't get the post because he was smart. There were other smart people coming for the post. He got the job because he knew classical music. Sow your seed in the morning. At night, keep sowing your seed. You don't know which one will get you the job. Are you getting my point here? The mother dared to pray. Why did she do it? She didn't have money. She had nothing else to run to. She didn't have people. She was a black woman. She was a young woman. She had no skill. When she was forcing her children to read, he said they did not know she couldn't read what she said they should be writing. When the boys were doing very badly in school, she said, I want you boys to, in fact, let's just gist, because you know, when we are gisting, we learn many things. So that's why I like all these gists. They brought their report sheets from school, and the report sheets, the scores were bad. And the woman who was barely literate knew the scores were bad. She looked at it and said, all right, okay, boys, go to your room. Let me pray. Let me see what the Lord will say. And I keep on saying, one advantage we have as Christians is we can what? We can pray. Prayer for us is not religion. Have you said your prayers? No. It's real. You get up and say, Lord, you've been so good. Let me thank you. You kneel down and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for love. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for my brethren. Thank you for the word. You're just grateful. You count all your blessings. Then sometimes you have a challenge like this. I feel like digressing. I mean, let's digress. 20 G's a day. One woman, one day, she saw her child was so depressed. Ah! And she said, what is wrong? The boy wouldn't talk. Then she bowed her head to pray. Then suddenly she remembered one thing that happened to her when she was a little child. And people were yapping her that she was small, she wouldn't grow. She said, look at me today. Then she suddenly realized, then she now told that story. As she was telling the story, the boy looked up. That was the very experience he had in school that day. It's important to pray. He just said, ah, God, why is my boy depressed? What's going on? She bowed her head and the Holy Spirit gave her revelation. Back to Ben Carson. Ben Carson said, the mother said, I'm going to pray. Let me see what the Lord will say. He could not sleep because he was afraid of what the Lord will say. And next morning, he was eagerly waiting. What did the Lord say? And when mommy showed up, mommy had heard from the Lord. Well, the Holy Spirit said, no more television in this house. No, that was the verdict. And they were like, what? Oh, another thing the Lord said. You boys are going to read 2 books every week and give me a summary. No, 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 that could not have been God. Mommy, that could not have been God. And she said, that's it. Case closed. Like I always say, there's no democracy. I never campaigned to be your mother. So we are not voting on this matter. So that was it. Case closed. On what subject, the woman didn't care, but just must read. So he chose the thing he liked. Geology. Started reading about rocks. In class, it was supposed to be a dull boy. Then one day they asked about a rock. The teacher brought something out, and he happened to... Of course, he wasn't used to talking in class. Nobody spoke. So he put up his hand. I know this one now. He got up and spoke about that piece of stone. And so he said he suddenly realized that studying is not so bad after all. That if I read it, I can know it. Then he now loved reading. Take your matter to the Lord in prayer. Pray. God answers prayers. Many people don't pray. They say prayers. You understand what I mean? One of the things I want to teach later, I want to beg you, don't have a prayer tone. I told my wife, I don't like you praying and you're using a prayer tone. You know what they call prayer tone? When you're talking to me, you're saying, ah, husband, how far now? What's happening? Then when you want to talk to the Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus. I said, that's not prayer. Talk normally. No, really, I'm going to talk about it later. It is not because it really matters the tone, but I want to explain that prayer is real. It's not a form of religion. It's not a form of religion. You just talk honestly. Ah, said, Father, I know you have heard. This is the matter. I have to have this solved between now and then. You say I shouldn't worry, so I have come to pray so I will not have to worry. Because a man must do one or two. Either I pray or I worry. Why pray when you can't worry? That's what some people do. Why pray when you can't worry? But as for me, I've chosen, why worry when you can't pray? And you say, Lord, let's get it clear. I'm not asking for too much. If you just give me 68,750, the whole problem is solved. If you round it up to 69,000, I have no problem with it. And then, Lord, I listened to Pastor Bangi the other day. He said that you don't always bring cash. Sometimes you bring help to use to reduce it and bring wisdom for the rest. Whatever it is, at the end of the day, these fees must be completed. Though. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, by the way, I will not worry. I am going to be thanking you. If worry comes to my mind, I will disturb you. I hope you don't mind. That is prayer. This is religion. Father, we have confidence by the blood of Jesus. Hey, mama, la, 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 hallelujah. Let's begin to give thanks, sir. Because on 68,750. If it's prayer for money time, go straight to money matter. The thanksgiving must be limited to that issue. Father, I thank you because I can come to you. Where else will I go? He said, Lord, you know, some people have where else to go, so they can be deciding whether they want to come or not. As for me, I'm happy that you are never broke. So, straight to the point, in 5 minutes, we are done. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Pray like that, you will see results. You will see results. You will see results. Ben Carson's mother prayed. The next day, the Holy Spirit told her, your boys watch too much TV and they don't read. So she came out and said, no more TV in this house. Now everybody, there are two of them, you will read two books for me every week and give me a summary. They did not know she couldn't read the summary. She would just collect it and keep it. But she created a reading culture in the boys. And the younger one became the Ben Carson that you and I know today. Because a woman knew how to pray. Let's be sincere in prayer. I remember the story of one woman, her child was sick. She went to the Lord. She said, Lord, help me. You know, if it was me that was God and you needed help, I will help you. That's what the woman said in prayer. The Lord answered sharp, sharp. The Lord is good. I know where we were. I know where we were in our message. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, instruct those who are rich in this world not to fix their hope on riches because riches are uncertain. He said, the uncertainty of riches. That people who have riches, they think they have hope, they have an anchor, but they don't because riches are uncertain. Once I heard MK Abiola, I heard that he made a statement, all right? I didn't hear directly. I heard he made a statement that a man prayed for him that, may Agbano not enter your money. Agbano is a mythical figure, all right? Or no, mystical figure in Yoruba culture. That's a spirit, actually, a spirit of wastage. And MK replied and said, no, that prayer is unnecessary. That he has so much money that if Agbano enters, it will eat and eat and almost choke and run away. So I said, I hope he didn't say that because a very free statement. One of my colleagues, he said, I heard him say it. I listened in on that program. Yes, he said it. This man does not know spiritual things. The money was so plenty. Sometimes the Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God didn't take the money away from him. He took him from the money. Abacha put him in prison. And that money became a curse. How do I know? One of Nigerian prominent politicians that time went to see Abacha. He called Godwin Dabo. I read his interview in the papers. Godwin Dabo went and begged him, say, Oga, release this man. He will go home. Abacha said, no. The problem that he's too rich. This was his statement. He said, he has too much money. He will disturb my government. That was what Abacha told Godwin Dabo. That MKO's Abiola's money is too much. It's so much, I won't be able to sit in peace on my throne. Money is uncertain. That's the point I'm trying to make. Money is uncertain. So he said, instruct those who are rich not to put their hope in it. I said something, that which is why I began this, that when you want, if you want faith to be in your heart in the time of trouble, like we seem to have right now, Make sure faith is in your heart in the time of peace. And that one you will be deliberate. That's how we're reading this. So Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, tell those who are rich, they are in their time of peace, using my own words now. What should they do? They should make sure that their hope is not in their money, but is on God. Everything spiritual must have physical manifestation. So what is this physical manifestation? He said, instruct them, verse 18, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. This, he says, are the manifestations in the life of a man whose faith is not in his riches. Listen, I said something earlier. A young man wants to marry, a young woman wants to marry. He marries according to the cultures of the people. Oh, he has the idea, I can't marry from here, I can only marry from here. I can do this, I can't do that. I can do, you know. Use all the cultures and expectations of human beings to make a choice concerning husband and wife. And for that reason, she rejected all the suitors that are coming. Then one day a man comes. He's rich, like she wanted him to be. He's handsome, like she wanted him to be. He's right from her state, like she always wanted. Oh, everything is correct. Then as the relationship is going on, you now come out that, I found out that he's AS, I'm AS. Which is a problem, in our, of course, because of the medical issues around it. He now says, I will believe God. It's a lie. You have no faith. Better forget it. The faith that could not overcome state tribal issues, could not overcome money matters, could not overcome all these other things. He now suddenly want to grab you from somewhere and say, I believe God. You don't believe anything. You do not believe anything. If normal human reasoning guided you up to that point, spiritual reasoning cannot take you from there. Paul said something, I want to turn it upside down. Paul said, having begun in the spirit, are we now to perfect in the flesh? The other way around, having begun in the flesh, you cannot perfect in the spirit. You said something in the flesh, you want to perfect in the spirit. The same principle applies to money matters. A man is rich, he's doing well. The way human beings say it, he has a good job, economy is booming. What does he do with his money? Today, he buys the latest iPhone. Tomorrow, the newest iPad. The following day, he buys a new car. You know, there's something people do. They max themselves out. I should teach it, all right? I will explain what they call the prodigal spirit. The prodigal spirit is a horrible spirit. But it's not the horribility. I like my English, okay? All right, good. It's not the horribility or the horribleness of the prodigal spirit I want to talk about. It is the fact that you have no defense against it unless you are a serving son.
Yes, sir.
You have no defense against it unless you are a serving son. Sometimes people having plenty of money and they live only for themselves. Here, year ahead, you have no faith. The day they want to fire you or your business is going down, you start praying, Hashakala mama, I rebuke. You can't rebuke. The spirits are looking and say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you, stingy man? When you had abundance, you lived only for yourself. When things were good, you trusted in your money. Now, money has not demonstrated to you that I am uncertain. You suddenly want to have faith. You can't have faith at such times. For you to have faith in difficult times, you must have had faith in times of peace. That's what I'm preaching. For the rich man, Paul said, this is a sign that you have faith in the time of your peace. You don't live for yourself. That is the principle of generosity in Christianity. Not so you can reap. You can't give God 24,000 naira for 24-hour miracle. It's a lie. They say, give $58 for 58 times of blessing. It doesn't work like that. The man who said he may have received that special revelation for himself at one time. If people are sick, now you can't go and hang a serpent on a stick and think they will get well. That revelation is gone. The principle of Christian generosity is what I'm explaining. It's just a matter of my faith is not in my money. You cannot put your faith in your money when you have plenty of it.
You now want to transfer it to God when you have little. The Bible says, behold, God is not mocked. If a man sows in faith, he will reap in faith. You must understand that. Go and read the context. You see that when Paul was talking about he said, whatever a man sows, he was emphasizing on he that sows to the spirit and he that sows to the flesh. I hope you are getting my point. Faith for finances, listen, every time there is difficulty, there is a shaking. Those who had faith in the time of peace, their faith will work for them in the time of trouble. Every time there's trouble, it is a testing of faith. It is not the time that faith is born. It is the time faith is tested. By the time you are taking your end of semester examination, that is not admission. I hope you get my point. It's to test whether you've been taking lectures. Test whether you've been doing your assignments. The time of adversity is not the time faith is born. It is the time faith is what? Tested. What I've been trying to teach, and I keep on explaining it, in total faith, is to let Christians know you have to have faith all the time. So that when there's trouble, the faith will speak up. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, of course, when they came into Babylon, that's my gist, all right? When they came into Babylon, they did not come to Babylon standing against fiery furnace. They didn't come to Babylon facing lions den. They came to Babylon and they were specially treated. You must understand. Nebuchadnezzar was very gracious. Selected the best young men, handsome boys, well brought up, of royal descent, and brought them into his chambers. That these boys are going to work for me. And he said, I'm going to train them. Give them to his best men and they give them the best food. This is where I'm going. Before they step into Babylon, the boys call themselves. Say, where we're about to get into, there's a lot of temptation there. So what are we going to do? Let's dedicate ourselves that we will not defile ourselves by any of this food. Ordinary food. Ordinary food. Now, what's my preaching today? Nobody was threatened to behead them initially. Initially, they could be tested. That is, the man said, let's eat ordinary, cheap, common food, vegetables, he was referred to. That was when they sowed the seed of faith. Many of us, we have eaten shaki. Momo, bogoto. We, they were sacrificing to Molech in front of us. We have drank all kinds of drink in the chambers of the idols. Then as they bow to an image, you say, I won't bow. Listen, let me give you my sincere counsel. Bow. Why? You bowed before. It's not today. This obogi is because we Christians are watching. When you were in private, you were bowing to all kinds of things. You were rolling on the ground with them. Bros, you bowed long ago. That's my message. Faith for finances. If you did not have faith when things were good, I'm not saying you can't have faith when things are bad. You don't have faith when things are bad. I'm not saying you can't. I say you don't. Because faith is not, please get my point. Faith is not a deliberate action. Faith is a state of heart. It's a spiritual substance that produces actions. So you cannot act if it is not there. Even though you think you're acting by faith, you're not acting by faith. You're just mimicking actions of faith. If you want to be safe in the time of adversity, in the time of your prosperity financially, you must be a generous giver. You know, that's why I don't like this preaching of give. Somebody, when people are giving so that God can give them back, their hope is still in money. Their hope is still in money. Giving is supposed to be money. Listen, you are a tool. You are not my God. You can't promise me health. You can't promise me anything. So I'm not going to depend on you. That's what it's supposed to be. Money is, listen, once God gives me resources, it means there is something to do. I just allocate it as is necessary. I don't hope concerning my future on it. Even if you're a billionaire today, don't assume your children will go to good schools. That's why I told the story of MK Abiola. He had all the money, but the money was the reason why he was in prison. The head of state, the military head of state then confessed it. Essentially, if this man was poor, I would have released him. You are rich, can be a disadvantage. Paul Getty was the richest man in the world, and his son testified. He said money was a curse to our family. The richest man on the earth in his days. What is the point I'm making? Listen. A man is a billionaire, it's no guarantee that his children will go to the best schools. Especially when he's a believer. So you know what he's supposed to do as a believer? Remember our scripture. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. Go and listen to our series, How to Bless Your Children. I explained it there. That the child of the so-called poor man can achieve everything and anything that the child of the rich man can achieve. That the same resources are available. If you are very rich, make it a law that you are your children are going to school, you are paying other people's children's school fees too. And for your own child, you know what you do. Now, I don't mean you are sowing the seed. As I help you, God will help me. If Jesus is not enough reason for God to help you, you cannot be helped. I hope you get my point.
Yes,
if when God looks at the cross of Christ and the risen body of Christ, he doesn't have enough reason to help you, just know you are dead. Give from now till tomorrow. You can't be helped. Please, let's get that thing clear. Christians still go ahead and again. I help other people's children. God will help my children. If God looks at the cross of his son, Jesus, and he didn't find enough reason to help you, your case is so bad, you are in hellfire already. So I'm not talking about do so that God can do for you. I'm saying make sure your faith is in him. And all these our actions as believers is to ensure that our faith is not in material things. Though you are rich, you will also look at your children the way the poor man who has faith also does. You will say, kneel down here, let me pray for you. God will help you. It shall be well with you. When you go away and I'm not nearby, God will supply your need. Food will come from you for you even if you're in the desert. Listen to me, the angels of God, they will protect you. God will send you favor. As you are declaring, the guy is saying, if you have money, but he said, listen, money, you tell the child, listen to me. You are not better than the child of a poor man. It's only my faith that will sustain you. Let him know. Let him know. Let him trek to school. Let him jump a bus. Let him know that, listen, material things are not a security for his future. Drill it into his head every day. My wife does it to my children. This food thing. Occasionally she reminds them. Why do we have food to eat? Is it because daddy works? They say no. Is it because mommy works? They say no. Is it because daddy brings money? No. Why do we have food? They will say because God is the supplier. Say good. Pin it in your heads. When you are giving thanks, you know you are really giving thanks. When you say, Father, we thank you for this food. At the same time, I say, thank you for this. I'm not adding words now. Thank you for this servant called daddy. Thank you for the servant called mommy. Thank you for the servant called Auntie Chiwe that cooked it. Everybody is a servant of God. Forget the title they carry in the house. They are all servants of God. Only God is the supplier. Even though you're a billionaire, let your children know. Then after that, you do as occasion serves you. It's there in your mind that, listen, this boy, this girl, is not going far because I have kulala. He's going far because God is good. What I'm just trying to say is this. Listen, material things are not God. That's just what I'm trying to emphasize. Even if you have them, train your children to have faith in God. Train your children to have what? Faith in God. And for you as an individual, you cannot claim to have faith in the time of trouble when you did not have faith in the time of peace. When you had financial ease, if you did not have faith, let me just tell you now, you don't have faith right now. What you need is repentance. What did I call it? You need to tell God I'm sorry. This one, say this one, now I'm being punished. Let me enjoy my punishment. Have mercy on me. But don't pretend like you have faith. Or the quoting scripture, you are my supplier. God says, hey, wait. If I was not supplier when you had money, I can't be supplier when you are broke. That's why God gave Israel laws and commandments of how never to forget that he's God. Go and read the Bible. He gave them laws. Go and read that Deuteronomy chapter 8 that we quote all the time. He said, thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that is giving you the power to create wealth. What was he saying to them? When you get prosperous, you forget. So he said to them, when you bring your first fruit, that's why we're talking about first fruit. He said, you will take some off. Take out of it and bring it to the priest. It's not the money now or the seed that's the issue or the material thing. It's a statement you make. You don't just say, priest, take. That's my first fruit. I'm busy. No. You will repeat after the priest. My father was a wandering Aramean. My father was like this. Then we went down to Egypt. And then he became like this. And we prospered. And then we were oppressed. Then God delivered us by mighty hand. And he brought us back here. And we defeated nations that were greater than us. And then he settled us in this land. Now I have brought up the fruit of that land which he promised to our fathers. You have to recite that all the time. To let you know that it is the Lord thy God that is giving you the power to create wealth. Every statement they made was to remind them, because like Pastor Paul, you will say those days, that success is so powerful, it tends to erase the memory of failure. You will forget that you were a failure at the time. You will think that I'm here because of my might. You will think I am here because I know how to do it. You start writing 7 keys of effective business operations. Most of them are lies. Because the person that really doing what is right, the Bible says he himself does not know how. But for those of us who are believers, listen, we give God thanks all the time. Even when there is peace, that's my emphasis, total faith. Everybody understands that we need to have faith when there's trouble. My preaching is not about faith when there's trouble. My preaching is about faith when there is peace. Because that is the foundation for faith when there's trouble. In the time of trouble, you don't look for faith. You must discover it is there. Did you hear what I said? The time of trouble is not when you look for faith. It's the time you discover it is there. So in the time of peace, that is when you cultivate faith. Faith for finances is simple. When I have plenty, I don't hope in it. And the manifestation is that I become generous in giving. I become generous in giving. I become generous in giving. That is a manifestation of it. Then when there's trouble, I will look and know there's faith in my heart. If you are working in a big place and you chop all your money alone, the day they sack you, you are in trouble. If you are a believer, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. Big trouble. But there is repentance. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads. Repentance, that's the first prayer point. For how we may have had faith in our finances, in the riches that are uncertain, instead of faith in God. It's the one we take before prayer. I call it the righteousness of God. Let's declare it. I enter into the presence of the Father as a renewed child of God. I have been made righteous by the power of the blood of Jesus, and I give him praise for it. I haven't come in the power of the good works I have done. I have come only because of the grace and mercy which I have through Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for loving me. I thank the Lord for washing me clean. I thank the Lord for making me worthy to stand before him. I have come in the company of my brethren who are also washed, who are also clean. We are a company of children of God who are declared righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, before we share the grace, all right, let me just pray. Just put up your hand. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your gift. And I thank you, Lord, for the special word that you have been feeding us with. Now, I prophesy upon your children. I declare to you, the Lord will bless you.
Amen.
The Lord will keep you.
Amen.
The Lord will make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
And he will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
He will lift up his countenance upon you.
Amen.
And give you peace.
Amen.
It will be well with you as you go out.
Amen.
It is well with you as you come in.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
Nobody will snatch your car.
Amen.
Your house will not catch fire.
Amen.
Ebola will not come near you.
Amen.
Lassa fever will not touch you.
Amen.
Zika virus will not know you.
Amen.
Evil spirits will not know you.
Amen.
You are above them all.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And abound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare to you that your faith will not be in money. It will not be in material things.
Amen.
Your faith will be in God.
Amen.
You will enjoy the things He has given you.
Amen.
And you will be generous and ready to share.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lack will not stay with you.
Amen.
I command jobs for those who don't have. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Doors open in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I speak to doors that were closed. Open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Favor come 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 in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Send us help from above, for vain is the help of man.
Amen.
Listen to me. Stop calling people. The reason why you are still having problems is that you are making too many phone calls. Anytime there's a hindrance, you start checking, who do I know? You see, David said, who do I have in heaven but thee? And for that reason, upon this earth, I have desired to know no other person. The reason why you are still having problems is that you make too many phone calls. You make too many phone calls. It is killing your faith. It is hindering the power of God from helping you. He said the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth so that he might show himself strong on behalf of the people, the person whose heart is perfect towards him. His eye is running up and down looking for the heart that is perfect towards him. The heart that will not be making phone calls for whose big man, which big man do I know? That is the reason why you have not had a breakthrough. You are looking for too many people to help you. Listen, this week you won't call anybody.
Amen.
If you have to apply, apply and forget it. Are you getting my point? Stay late at home in the morning, declaring the word of God that favor from above comes to me. And listen to me, breakthrough is at your doorsteps.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.